do what they wanted to do and to go the ungodly ways. But now, when you talk about giants, I want you to take notice something about giants. Humanity has a tremendous capacity. The Bible, have you ever thought about how the human mind actually works and the body actually works that God has given you and I? It is a tremendous thing. The Bible talks about, says man is fearfully and wonderfully made. God created it. Man didn't have nothing to do with it. God created this body that we have. And it's amazing how wonderful and how great it actually is. The only problem is sin has ruined it. It's just amazing about this. But now when we talk about this, people have lost sight of this. How great God has made the human being that we are. But also, we did not come from evolution. But see, all you hear is evolution. All you hear is how we come from caves or different things. But even Geico has an ad on TV with a caveman on it. And you see it constantly over and over again. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, when you think of old times or way back yonder or years ago, do you ever think of people who are just dumb? Yeah. Why? Actually, they were pretty doggone smart. God give them the mind that you and I have. They were great and wonderfully made. As time went on, there was no evolution. People learn more from the mind that they had. Just like you and I. You and I learn every day. There's not a day that they don't go by that I don't learn something. Even at my age. You say you can't teach old dog new tricks. Well, I got news for you. I still learn a little from time to time. There's no way around it. You have to. Because you're ever growing as a human being. Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's what's so amazing about it. But what happened when the sons of God went the way of the world and when the church goes the way of the world? But also I want to talk to you about something else about these giants. There's different types of giants, and it's been brought out before. We face a lot of giants in the world that you and I live in. We're facing things that's overwhelming in our country. We're facing things that's overwhelming individually. There's giants of fear can be in your life. There's giants of sorrow that it's just amazing how it can bother you. Giants of loneliness, heartache, trouble and trials. You can have all kind of giants in your life that can affect you in many, many, many different ways and can overwhelm you. But the greatest giant that you and I face is sin in this world. But not only that, there are giants of sin in this world. And how come are they giants of sin? One reason is because the church has an unholy alliance with sin. And the world, the church has that this day and age. It's lukewarm. And there's no way around it. You have to face it. You have to look at the facts. I know tomorrow is Independence Day, but I got news for you. I'm glad and I'm proud of America and I appreciate America and I'm glad I'm free. But I'm so grateful for that. But as I look at this picture that God has painted in my heart and in my mind and how we see this and how our country is and these giants that you and I face and our children face and all the problems that you and I have as a Christian, I'm amazed at how that it overwhelms you and I at times and how that we can't hardly even function as a Christian. And even sometimes take another step forward as you need to because the giants of sin will kill you. Sin brings forth death, folks. Our country is dying. Our country is divided. Let me tell you something. The Bible says a house that's divided cannot stand. A country divided is not going to stand. There's no way around it. It can't. But it's terrifying as we see this. For an example, there's more violence today. There's more sin today than there ever has been. There's more immorality. There's more perverseness. There's more destruction. There's more terrifying. There's more fleshly. There's more carnally. There's more lustful. There's more heinous crimes today than there ever have been in my lifetime. And I can't get over that. It's just amazing to me. But also is something else in verse 6. I want you, verse 5, we see this. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great. In other words, God saw everything was getting more and more and more and more wicked. Can you imagine how that affects God? Have you ever thought about that? As He looks down on His church, His people. Look, He looked down on the sons of God. He knew what was going on. He knew what they saw. He knew what they'd done. He knows what the church does today. He knows what God's people do today. There's no way around it. God knows. But I want to tell you something else about God as we look at this. Number one, God is pressed by the sin of man. I want you to think about that. He's pressed. Amos, in the book of Amos, the Bible says, "Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves." In other words, He's weighted down with the way people do this day and age from sin. God is weighted down from it. There's something else about God. God is wearied by man's sin. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. Isaiah 43 and verse 24, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." What do you think the church is doing today to God? Where is Him? But not only that, God is broken. You don't think about God being broken, but listen, He's brokenhearted. He said, "I am broken with their whorish heart," in Ezekiel 6 and 9, "which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves, for the evil which they have committed is all their abomination." It's amazing. Look, you need to see this picture, what God sees. What God's looking at. How it affects Him. And how it affects you and I as God's people. It has a tremendous effect on you and I. There's no way around it. Now, the next thing I want you to stop and think about, God is grieved by man's sin. Have any of you ever grieved God? Yeah. I have. I'll be the first one to tell you. I've sinned. I've done wrong. Been wrong. And I've definitely grieved. Let me ask you a question. How many of you obey the Spirit of God every time He speaks to you? Huh? How many? Not me. I can truthfully say that. I've had God speak to me and want me to do something or witness somebody sometime, and I didn't do it. How do you think He felt? And when I stand in judgment, guess what? I'm going to have to answer for it. Sometimes, you know, being a Christian, you don't need to play church. All we need to do is obey God, period. That's it. There's no other way around it. As we move on now, I want to drop down to verse 11 and 12. "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His ways upon the earth." Here, God is still looking. God is still seeing. And God saw. First of all, I want you to take a look. God looked upon the earth and seen a terrible scene. The whole earth is corrupt and filled with violence. Well, that's the way it is today. The whole world is corrupt and filled with violence. We talk about it as the days of Noah. There's no way around it. Number two, all mankind has corrupted their ways. Where did all the sons of God go back then? God has laid before man the ways of godliness and life. And yet, we choose sin. We choose complacent. We choose to just try to make God just a little bit happy. Just a little bit. And we think we're all right. We think the church is all right. Well, I got news for you, it's not. The standards have been moved. I asked a preacher one time, I said, what happened to the line in the sand? He said, we have moved it. It's been moved back. And it keeps moving back, and it keeps moving back, and it keeps moving back. Where in the world is God's standards today? Where's the church standards today? Oh, if I come on Sunday morning, everything's fine. I've done my job. I hate it. But that's really about the way it is. It's a sad thing to look around as we look at this. The Bible says, in a way they have chose the ways of corruption. Sin is totally universal in the day and age that we live in. And I'm amazed at that. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Habakkuk. I'm going to read just a few verses and I'm not going to stay long with it. But the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. See here again now. Habakkuk was a minor prophet. Jeremiah was the main prophet here in this day and age. And you know Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was the one that wept over Israel and crying for Israel. But also Habakkuk was sent also at this time and period, even though Jeremiah was the main prophet here. But as we look at Habakkuk, have you ever thought that I had a little thought about this when you look at Habakkuk and Jeremiah. God always has two for a witness. I just had that little thought and I thought, oh, he sure does. He sure does. That's kind of amazing. But the burden which Habakkuk did prophets see. See, Habakkuk had a burden for Israel. He had a burden for his country. Now, you and I need to have a burden for our country as we've never had. In the day and age we live, if we don't get it, listen, we're in trouble. We're in trouble if we don't get this burden. But I want you to take notice something about Habakkuk. He said, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou didst not hear, even cried in thee of violence and thou wilt not save? I want you to think about this just a minute. If you ever get a chance, I'm not going to have time to go there tonight, but go, if you write this down, Psalm 73, if you'll read that. It's given many ungodly sinners an opportunity because God is silent on a lot of things and we don't understand it. And we don't think, well, God, why don't you do this? God, why don't you do that? And if you stop and think about it just for a minute, on TV I hear shows thinking, well, somebody murdered this little child and they say, where was God at when this happened? Well, I got news for you. God's where He's always been. It's man's sin that created this. Sin ones that brings forth death, not God. God gives life. He don't bring forth death. He gives life. He give me life. But what did the Habakkuk really see? He saw violence. He saw civil injustice, iniquity. The rich were oppressing the poor. The nobles were riding roughshod over the constitution or the law that they had at that time. The land was filled with strife and contention. A nation divided cannot stand. Something else. The Mosaic law was the foundation of the Jewish national life. I want you to look. This is what he was hollering about. This is what he was crying out about. This is what he saw as we look at this. It says, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doeth not go forward, for the wicked doeth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. In other words, what he's really saying here, that they're not doing the law. They have corrupted the law. Well, let me ask you a question. Habakkuk is saying that the law is no good and is done away with. The law has become paralyzed because it creates a permissive society when you don't have the law. As we can see by our country and looking around in our own land, the permissiveness that has taken place in our society. Number one, a permissive society redefines sin. For an example, a drunkard is just an alcoholic or he just has a disease. It's redefined. Bottom line, he's just a drunk. I never have understood how you could pick something up and drink it and it's called a disease. I mean, you know, that's in my little mind now. I don't know about anybody else's, but that's just the way I see it. A thief is nothing but a kleptomaniac. He can't heck it. Well, this is the society we live in, folks. That's what Habakkuk was seeing. We have an alternate lifestyle this day and age. Yep. We sure do. And yet, they get away with more, and God's people can't even stand up and say nothing about it. Not only that, the outrage and things that are tolerated in the name of personal and civil rights. Today, the law is slack in the war, in the, our country. It was slack. They have corrupted the law in Habakkuk's day. Criminals are cuddles. The death sentence has been abolished in most states. You stop and think about it. Judges slap repeat offenders on the wrist. Temporary insanity. People gets away with murder because I'm on drugs. I didn't know what I done. Well, what are you doing on drugs? It's amazing to me. Hardened criminals can play the appeal system in our country for years and years. And actually wind up getting lighter sentences because of that. Our judges, for an example, they'd rather are more concerned about the criminal's rights than the victim in the day and age that we live. For an example, I have a little old farm, a little piece of land. Do you know if somebody walked on my land and I didn't even know it? They stepped in a stump hole and broke their leg, they can sue me? Duh. What kind of law is that? I mean, that's just one little simple thing. Look what we're having to deal with in our country in the day and age that you and I live in. These are giants of sin. All of them. It's amazing about this. Not only that, there's a wholesale slaughter of unborn babies on the grounds of women's rights. Let me tell you something. Nobody has a right to choose murder. I don't care who it is. There is pornography under the guise of freedom of press. There's mob crime. There's drug, there's trafficking, there's prostitution, there's child abuse, political corruption. The wicked outnumber and outvote the righteous. Because the righteous does not go vote half of the time. Christians do not go to the vote, well, it won't do any good. Listen, I'm glad we have the freedom. Listen, go vote. We have the freedom. Yes, right. Do what God expects you to do. Now, Habakkuk had another problem. He called for judgment. But when God answered him, and told him that he was going to bring the Chaldeans against Israel and take them into captivity, Habakkuk cried real loud, said, "You're bringing a country more unrighteous than we are to overtake us." Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you really believe that another country can take over America? Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me well. Nowhere in this book that I have found that that cannot be so. Not only that, as we look at this, did you know that our country is already bankrupt and we don't even have enough sense to know it? Now, if God, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know one thing. If He done in the days of Noah, if He done to Israel, His people, do you think we're going to get away with it? No. We better wake up. Church is asleep. Wake up. My Lord. Not only that, and I'm going to tell you this. If we had another depression, what do you think would really happen today? They wouldn't do it as they did years ago. They'd come and kill you and take food or anything they could to survive. They wouldn't go try to work or try to do something. You can't get people to work this day and age. They want everything free. Instead of praying for judgment, if I had my way, I'd have zapped them. I'd zap these politicians. I'd get rid of them. Oh my, I would. Buddy, it's not up to me. It's up to Him. And when sin dominates, and we have so many giants of sin in our country and in our church and in our lives, let me tell you something. We better repent and we better get right with God. And we better pray for mercy and grace, not judgment. If we don't pray for mercy and grace, oh God forbid. Habakkuk learned a hard lesson. He prayed for judgment. He got it. Hey, I don't want God's judgment. I don't even like His whoopings that I get. Much less His judgment. Now I know this has been a hard lesson in a way. And it paints not a very pretty picture. But it is true. And I did it because God laid it on my heart. This is for you and me. This is for liberty. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm not anywhere else. I'm right here. I know when God wanted me to do something. I know what God wants me to teach. This is for us. And I pray and I hope that you'll open your eyes and your understanding and hear what God has to say. I'm just a mailboy. That's all. But I'm glad I love the Lord. Most of all, I'm glad He loves me. What would I do without Him? I don't know. I'd hate to find out. But I definitely don't want His judgment. But I'm going to tell you something. You and I may go through some things that you never thought we'd ever go through. We better get ready and we better be prepared because we know what this book says. And this book is true and it's coming. May the good Lord bless you and I love you, church.